Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
آمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. السلام عليكم. It's your brother Khaled, and you're on A Conversation with a Purpose on station IWDM. And I hope you had a wonderful day. I hope that the weather was great and, you know, the weather was bright and warm and cheerful, because I feel that right now we have a great day out here where I live, and I just feel the joy and the see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm delighted. Praise be to Allah. Thanks to God. It's a great day. So tonight, as you may know, is the presidential debate, the first debate between Romney and Obama, and that's going to go on in a few hours, and we want to get ready for that. So we're going to keep this particular program, I'll try to keep it as close to an hour as possible, so we can see the debate and be in a relaxed and receptive mood. And I'm not too good at predicting anything. In elections, especially. But I have a very strong feeling somebody's going to get spanked tonight. And it'll be very clear, very plain, who is best qualified and has the ability to lead the country for the next 4 years. I think somebody's going to get really spanked hard tonight. That's how I feel. That's what I want to share with you. And, I think you know who I mean, it's going to be spanked. But anyway, I had ran across a lecture by Muhammad, and it's a clip of a lecture. And it was out in Oakland, I believe, in the year 1994. And the title is Misconception. No, excuse me. The title is The Burden of Misconception. You know, once you don't see things clearly or right, you can be fooled, you can be seduced, and just, you think you're doing right, you just out of your mind, you know? But Jesus, you're doing all right, that's a curse. And you perceive things wrongly, and we don't want to do that, because we've had a lot of burden put upon us. We've got a couple more to clear up. So I want you to listen to this particular presentation from me and Muhammad, and it's going to be about 14 minutes, and I think you enjoy it. And we'll probably put it again tomorrow, but I want you to hear it right now. I want it to be recorded on our archives. So this is The Burden of Misconception. It's fantastic, I tell you. Here it is.
Because I started moving away from that situation. I started and said, well, no, I'm no rejected. No, I'm not a rejected. that title is too troublesome. I said, I don't want to be called rejected, you know, because we had spooked up that title, you know. And then I said, well, I'm no leader for you. It's all of us, I'm leader, but not. I'm not no leader and responsible for your organization, responsible for your mosque. And I'm not the leader of the Nation of Islam. I'm not the leader of the West Community of Islam. Anyway, I'm not the leader of the American Muslim Mission. I refuse to accept to be the leader of them. To be called the leader of the American Muslim Mission, they know. At that time, I was resident imam in Chicago. I said, I'm the leader of this congregation here in Chicago. You the leader of your congregation wherever you are, you know. I said, you be sure and tell the people that, too.
That's right.
Then, that wasn't strong, you know, we just, certain things that we in the habit of and just can't get away from, that wasn't strong enough. I still have the same problem. So I had to come out and say, I resign.
What
interview with non-Muslim reporters, I told them, I said, no, I have no administrative office at a role at all, except my own office. I said, I have my own separate ministry. That's my office. I said, it's in Calumet City. That's it. I said, I see myself as a Muslim leader with an obligation to people that I have grown up with, had experience with, and have been supported by. I say, but as their spokesman, as one speaking, as a Muslim, supporting our religion, supporting what we believe in, and advising to the best of his ability, advising the people to the best of his ability. I say, but they don't have to accept me. That's exactly what I told them. I say, they don't have to accept me. I say, they can go on. They can disagree with me. They don't have to believe. So he asked about certain people that might think that. I say, that's the entitled to think different. It's their opinion. A few favoring the Shiites. I have nothing to do about that. They have the freedom of choice. You think I'm gonna tell you because you favor Shiites that you can't come here and identify with what I'm doing? No. Right. Favor Shiites if you want to. I'm not Shiite and I don't favor the Shiites. But I know that there are a lot of them are very good, excellent Muslims. With very good intentions. I think they made a mistake. Their mistake is not near as big as the mistake we made with Yaqub's history and all that, but I think they made a mistake, you know. But I'm not going to say nothing. No. We're just going to try to present and keep in the focus what we believe in, what we believe to be the best for Muslims. We want to keep that in the focus. All of us not going to accept that equally. All of us not going to be in agreement with that to the same degree. That doesn't mean, don't you have children that measure up better to what you want of them? Don't you have friends and relatives that measure up better to what you want of them? The same thing applies to an organization or to a movement or a trust for the betterment of a society and our people in society. Same thing applies. Don't ever treat each other different because all of them not measuring up the same under certain kinds of requirements, you know? And this is something we should emphasize, and this is in accord with nature. This is real. There are some of us that will be dutiful in prayer, and some of us that will think of God all the time. And we get great merit for that. Great merit for that. In fact, that's the best. But if you're just doing that and you're not in touch with the needs of other people, you're just in touch with the needs in your relationship with Allah, but you're not in touch with the needs of your relationship with other people, in your household to start with, if you're not in touch with that, then according to the teachings of our holy book and the teachings of our prophet, your merit is not as great as the people that are not as duty or as impressive as you. In that particular respect, who are taking care of their family, who are doing constructive work in the society, who are making a contribution to the betterment of other people. You're not as good. You're not as good as those carrying the burden of society on their back.
That's right.
You know? So there's some who are carrying the burden of society, beginning with the family. That's the society. That's our first society, the family. So there's some of us carrying the burden of society on our back, and we are not praying as often as others. And if we still have that consciousness in us, we love God, we appreciate God, we are God-fearing, but we are not as conscious as often as you are in making prayers and all that, when you get to heaven, you're going to be shocked.
Yes.
To find yourself in a much inferior room to those that weren't praying as often as you. Now, you know, we know that prayer for us is very serious because Muslims in America, in the West, the circumstances that we have to live with take our attention away from prayer and sometimes make it almost impossible for us to follow the prescribed daily prayers on the times according to the according to what is prescribed in the Quran and the life of our prophet, peace, prayers and peace be on him. Yes, so we know how difficult it is, so I'm not, don't think that I'm saying this to take any importance away from the importance of prayer in our life. It is the main pillar of our life, prayer. If we stop prayer, the prophet taught us that civilization, no civilization fell until they first stopped prayer, neglected, they left their attention to prayer. You see, so we know how important it is, but still we have to understand too that Allah intended a full life for us, a natural life, a life respecting the excellence in the nature that he gave us. And if we give too much attention to our relationship with Allah, we become narrow-minded and we become stingy people. Stingy people. Selfish and stingy people. Giving everything to Allah and nothing to your fellow man. So we don't want that. In seeing the concept of religion, again, I repeat, we have to see the respect in this religion, I have to say sacred respect in this religion, for the nature of everything. We believe that Allah has given nature to everything. Khalaqa, khalaqa, fasawwa. Allah says khalaqa, this is Quranic term, Arabic Quranic term. Khalaqa means he created. Created means he gave you your original. Your original self. He gave you your original self, khalaqa. Fasawwa, proportion, gave the proportion. But we must understand also that it is in that original gift from Allah where we find our equality. We are equal. Allah, whatever Allah gave the first human being, he gave all of us. Because we are his, the children of that one. And we know that Adam for us is very big. Adam for us, the prophet Adam, peace be upon the prophet and all the prophets, the prophet Adam, the first human being that Allah made, he, in our eyes, is excellent, noble, excellent. He is most respected father.
That's right.
We're not ashamed of him.
That's right.
Say, oh, but he committed sin. We do too. That's why we are told he committed sin. To let us know, we will too. Because we are not gods, we are not angels, we are human beings, subject to error. But our holy book does not present him as a man of sin because he committed sin. When they say the man of sin, they talk about Adam in his fall. Are they not? Yes, so we don't believe in, we have no concept in our religion, the man of sin, unless it's Satan, and he's not a man, he's called jinn. So if a man of sin, got to be all of us who are sinning. But no father, we don't have any father who was the man of sin that we descended from, no. Our father was the man of obedience to Allah. Adam was the man of obedience to Allah. But because he was a common man like us, with common nature like ours, common human nature like ours, he could be tempted. He could be led astray. So he was tempted by the arch-deceiver,
yes.
Satan himself.
Right.
No ordinary person could get Allah's first man. No ordinary creature upon me could get to Allah's first man. It had to be achieved over the creatures.
Right.
Satan himself, the fiery one. It had to be him. And how did he deceive Adam? By going through Adam's weaker side. So that tells us right there. He didn't address Adam directly, according to the... He didn't address Adam directly. He addressed Adam by deceit.
Right.
Which tells us that Satan himself recognized that if he went straight to Adam, Adam would reject him. That Adam would reject him if he came straight.
Right.
So Satan did not go to Adam straight. He went to him deceitfully, and Adam didn't see that he was being offered something wrong. Until much later.
Right.
Then our holy book said that he learned later that he had erred, and he repented
for his wrong,
yes,
and turned to Allah, and Allah forgave him.
Right.
So we have a father that Allah made with limitations, because he was not he didn't make a God when he made our father. He's the only God, Allah. He didn't make an angel when he made our father. He made one with freedom, with the freedom to make choices, to use his own intelligence. And that creature is subject to error. But he made him with a nature to turn back to the best. One day he's going to wake up and realize he went wrong. He's going to turn back to the best, or to the greater, Allah. And he did it, and Allah forgave him. Isn't that a wonderful story to be told? Isn't that a wonderful story to tell our young babies and young boys and girls that's growing up? Yes, we're not ashamed of our father, Adam. We feel very dignified to say we are the children of Adam.
Yes.
Because Allah says that he made Adam to be the ruler or the custodian for Allah on this earth. Yes. And the Satan and those who were with him said, we disagree with this. I'm giving it to you short, you know, we're not going to report it, because we want to save time, too. I disagree with this. What did Allah say to them? To them. Wait until I have the breeze of my breath into him. I just made him. He's a natural man, surely a natural man, but you haven't seen his full potential yet. This is a natural man, but that I made. He's a natural man, but you haven't seen his full potential. I've given him the potential or capacity to do wonders, to do more than the angels have done. Once I have breathed of my breath into him. And we know that whatever breath Allah gave Adam, he gave us a piece, part of it too. Allah says in our holy book, and he has given every human being a part of his, that same breath, our spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, you know, say, well, I ain't got that part. Mm. Well, I guess Adam said that too when he found himself under the clutches of Satan. I'm sure he probably said that too. If he was listening to someone preach, he probably said in that condition, well, I sure ain't got no Holy Ghost in me. That's because he had to take it off course, as perhaps you are. You see? But you can repent as he did. We know that Allah made the natural man, perfect human nature, and with limitations. He made that man to be responsible on this earth. To be responsible on this earth. Now, the gift that Allah gives him in creating him won't take him all the way. In time, he's going to meet developments, circumstances in his life and before him that is going to require that he turn again to his creator, to the one who created him and gave him that excellent existence, turn to that one for additional help, for forgiveness many times because he's gone wrong. Turn to him for additional help to meet the challenges that will come as we live on this earth and make trouble for ourselves. Yes. So that's the way we see man in the religion, and that's the way we see Allah. Allah, God, is the creator of everything. And he's not a God that has human weaknesses. He does not have human weaknesses. We cannot think of Allah in the image of a human being. Allah is not in the image of a human being. He said, well, we are in his image. That's not the language of Muslims. In the first place, we don't try to image Allah. We know Allah through what he has revealed of himself. If he revealed of himself that he has no physical form, that he's not contained in matter, in the earth, or in any vessel, any idol, or in any creature, we have to accept that, and we cannot picture or visualize God in any human person or in any object of the creation that he has made. He is the creator. Everything else is creation. He has not made any mistakes with his job of creating. We don't believe that Allah made a mistake and had to do it all over again. No.
I see Imam Muhammad with a lecture titled "The Burden of Misconception." I thought it was wonderful, and that's just a part of it. I'm gonna try to get the rest of the speech and present it probably in 2 weeks. But I thought when I heard that, I said I gotta share this right away. And tomorrow, on Thursday, with Imam W. Muhammad, we're gonna go back to February. No, I'm sorry, I think it's January. 1975, in New York City, the famous FOI meeting. And that's going to be a two-hour program, and I encourage you to log on our website in order to hear it. And this will be at the Blog Talk Radio Station. And you get, if you get the advertisement about it, you have the URL to it. So, but you can also call it, no problem, but it's going to be a long lecture. I just don't want you to tie out your arm, holding the phone up to your ears. So, right now, we are broadcasting 5 days a week. Because on each day, we have a fantastic program, all designed for our betterment, God willing. Starting on Sunday, we have political awareness, a panel discussion, discussing the election coming up and our duties and our rights as a citizen, our voting rights, our human rights, and all that. We're discussing that. We have fantastic lecture with a fantastic panel. Monday, the power couple from Atlanta, Hakeem and Layla, they're bringing up their particular and special presentations on health and wealth of community life. Tuesday, we have Classic Arabic, the Language of Revelation with Imam Sadiq, Jihad and Imam William Bilal. Wednesday, Conversation with Purpose, and Thursday, Imam Muhammad. We'll lecture with Imam Muhammad. So we hope you take the time to join us and be with us as we strive to build up our community life and establish it in the way God wants us to have it. And I think we're doing a pretty good job already, you know. We're on our way. We've got a lot of work to do. And as always, better for cooperation, you know, than fighting. So we want to cooperate with our brothers and sisters. And the best way to cooperate to find out what's going on that I know of is to join our social network, www.wearewiththeimam.ning.com. And that'll take you to the Ning social network, We Are With Imam W.D. Muhammad. But if you Google We Are With Imam W.D. Muhammad, you'll see us doing 3 main activities. That's on the Yahoo group. It's titled We Are With Imam Muhammad. The main social network, I already gave it to you. And also, recently they have a Facebook group too. So you can join that way. So look, the debate is coming up. I want to get ready to see it. And I want you to see if you have time to do it. And so we're going to make a short program today. And you'll have another program next Wednesday, a full program, inshallah, God willing. So you take care. God bless. Assalamu alaikum.